You have a copy of the precious word of the Lord. We're going to take it and turn to the portion we read from Psalm 24, please. Psalm 24, and we'll read together just from verse 7 down to the end of the passage. Psalm 24, verse 7. This is the Bible, the word of God, and it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we come into thy presence again. We thank thee that we love thee with an everlasting love thou hast loved us with, and we love thee too, and we want more grace, Lord, to love thee more. We pray, Lord, this morning, please grant us eyes to see thy word. Please open our hearts. Please do a work in us. We need thy spirit. We pray, Lord, that what would happen right now would not be man's words but thy words. Please overtake for us, undertake for us. Please be now in this pulpit, Lord. We need thy help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm sure many people here this morning went to bed last night and this week hearing about many of the things happening on the news. And many of you probably saw that last night it was announced that Iran had launched 300 rockets plus other things against Israel. And we heard, I think it was announced even today, that they were able to defend much of the land of Israel, but also they did have one of these rockets land, and a seven-year-old girl was killed, or is nearly killed, I think. I'm not quite sure of the latest. These things, of course, are not new, are they? This has been going on a long time. And this is not the first time in the history of Israel where it's been attacked. And so I'm not saying this morning that these things necessarily should be unusual, because in one way they're not. But then early this week, you may have also seen that in Australia, in Sydney, somebody was caught. But before they were caught, they had to be shot. But they were going around in the shopping center, and six people lost their life. So there's been a lot of trouble this week, and I just felt this morning that I needed to bring something that was encouraging. I needed to bring a word this morning that would help us to see who really is in control of all these things. And the title that we find of our king here in Psalm 24 is this title, the King of Glory. In fact, it's mentioned five times in the text. Verse 7, the King of Glory shall come in. Verse 8, who is this King of Glory? Verse 9, the King of Glory shall come in. Verse 10, who is this King of Glory? Verse 10, he is the King of Glory. The King of Glory is the King of Heaven, the King over all, the Supreme One, the one who's in control. And I want to just speak this morning, if I can, for just a few moments about this King of Glory. And I wonder this morning, is he your king? Is he the one that you are subject to? Is he the one that you are waiting for? Is he the one that you are looking for? If we can, just hold our place here in Psalm 24 and turn to Matthew, please. And chapter 24, Matthew 24. I was thinking about these verses as well when I was preparing for this message. The Lord Jesus is asked by his disciples on the Mount of Olives, there in Jerusalem. He was asked privately, "Tell us what shall be these things, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." So we know that the last days will be full of deception. There'll be a lot of deception happening, and we can see that around us today, aren't there? There's lots of deception everywhere we look. He says that there'll be many that will come in his name saying, "I am Christ," and he'll deceive many. And that's happening as well, isn't it? And then it says in verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So these things that are happening in the world today, in a sense, are not necessarily saying that the world is coming to an end, as it were, but it is proof that Jesus is coming soon and he's going to return. And we believe that. We believe he's coming. And this King of Glory will come and he will rule and he will reign and every knee will bow. The Bible says they will look upon him whom they have pierced. It says even in Matthew 24, a nation will rise up against nation. And the love of many will wax cold. It says that the gospel will be preached and then the end will come. And so we know that although this is the last days, the gospel still needs to be preached and the word of God still needs to be declared. But I want to just this morning have you spiritually, as it were, to lift your eyes up to see this King of Glory that we find here in Psalm 24. And I want to ask you this morning, as you perhaps looked at the news, and as you perhaps maybe can be easily overcharged or overweighed by some of these things, all of us are different. Some of us look at them and just don't even look at the news, and we switch it off. And some of us, maybe we follow it more, and we read it all, and it can become something that's heavy. And I just wonder this morning, whatever you may find yourself in, I want to ask you this morning, do you have your confidence in this King of Glory that I want to preach on this morning? Is he the one in whom you are really trusting him? Is he the one in whom you are really depending upon? Because as we look around the world today, let me tell you, the only one who we really can trust in is this King of Glory. We can't trust in man. We can't trust in world government leaders. We can't trust in systems of man. The only one we really can trust in is the King of Glory. Do you have your eyes upon the King of Glory? Are you really trusting in him? Now, if you're here this morning and you are not saved, you've never been born again, you never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you what the King of Glory would say to you. He would say to you, my friend, this morning, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He would say unto you, take up your cross and follow me. He would say unto you, deny yourself and trust in me, believe upon me. And he would say to you, all that come to me, I will nowise cast out. That's what he would say. But I want to see this morning that the King of Glory, the one who has entered into this heavenly place, I believe that the psalmist is speaking of here, the one who has gone in, as it were, and is standing victorious, who is strong and mighty, who has won every battle. This King of Glory, first off, is the King of all the earth. And that's what we see in verse number one. This King that we serve this morning is the King of all the earth. He is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. He is the supreme ruler of all things. He is the sovereign one. He is the omnipotent one. He is the one who has everything in his hands. Can I say to you, the one who is the King of Glory, the King of all the earth, is the one who has no beginning and the one who has no end. He is eternal. He is the Lord of all. And we crown him this morning because he is Jesus, our Savior. But he is the King of all the earth. Now look at what it says here, please. The Bible says, all the earth belongs to our King. The earth is the Lord's. Now this is the God that we serve. This is the King of Glory. The world has been divided up now into countries. And certain countries earn different parts of the world. And you could go today to perhaps Zimbabwe, where we've been thinking of recently. And you could say, well, the people of Zimbabwe, they own the Victoria Falls. Or you could go perhaps to Canada and you could go to Niagara Falls. And part of it's owned, I think, by America, isn't it? You can see some of it by America and some of it by the Canadian side. And you could say, well, they own the Niagara Falls. But can I tell you, my friend, this text teaches us about our King. He owns everything. There's not one thing that is not under his control and leadership and his ownership. The earth is the Lord's. Now he tells us in Psalm chapter number 90, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever the earth was formed and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is the King of all the earth. And the Bible tells us when Moses was standing up against Pharaoh and those plagues were being given, the Bible tells us the plague of hail that was found in Exodus chapter 9. God sent a plague of hail down upon Egypt, and it affected all of Egypt apart from the place where the children of Israel dwelt. There was no hail found there. And when Pharaoh came and he was hardening his heart and he asked that the Lord would stop the hail, he prayed that Moses would pray to the Lord and stop the hail. In Exodus chapter number 9, verse 29, we read these words. Moses says, in answer to him, he says, that thou mightest know how the earth is the Lord's. Can I tell you, my friend, this morning, the earth, every part of it, every square inch of it, belongs to God. It does. We think that the world belongs to man. No, the King of glory, the King of all the earth, belongs to him. Every length of it, every breadth of it. But it doesn't just say the earth. It says, look what it says in verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. That word, their fullness, literally means all that fills the earth. The earth's fruit, the earth's abundance. They say that some countries are rich in certain products, don't they? Some countries are very rich in wheat and grain. Some countries are rich in oil. Can I tell you, my friend, really, the one who's rich in all these things is not man, but is our King of glory. He owns it all. The Bible says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the wealth in every mind. Everything belongs to him. But not just simply the fullness thereof, not everything that is from the earth. The world, it says, and then it says in verse number 1, and they that dwell therein. Now that's a wonderful thing. The earth isn't just simply the Lord's property, but every single person that dwells therein belongs to him. Every tree that has been planted belongs to him, and yet every animal belongs to him. And can I say, every single person belongs to him. The Bible says, man is but dust. He's here for a little time. If he is to reach a certain time, yet by strength, if he's to reach 70 years by strength, then he's blessed. And when the man is over, he returns back to the ground, doesn't he? The soul returns back to God. Man is God's. You're not your own, my friend, this morning. We may think we're in control. We may think that we can do this and do that and we're in control. But can I tell you, the person who's really in control this morning is the King of glory, the King of all the earth. He is in control. He is the one who stills the tempest. He is the one who made the blind to see. He is the one who walked on water. He is King. Look what it says in verse 2. He founded it upon the seas. The earth is only the earth, and the land is only the land as it is now, is because the Lord founded it. He caused the dry land to appear, we read in the book of Genesis, and he established it upon the floods. Think about the floods that came in times past in the world, when the Bible tells us the Lord flooded the world in the days of Noah, and he caused the waters to give way and to go, and the earth and dry land appeared yet again. God established it. Only the King of glory could do such a thing. He is holy. He is matchless. He is spotless. He is omnipotent. This is the one we serve. The all-knowing, powerful God, and he is King of kings and over all. This is the one we have. And so the psalmist David says, if this is the King of all the earth, if this really truly is the one who is in control, then he is holy and he is just. And who are we? And that's the question we find in verse 3. Who is it then who can go to where the Lord, this King of all the earth, truly dwells? Who is it who can really ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who can stand in his holy place? Do you know what some people do today? Some people say this, well, yes, I want to know God, and so I'm going to get to God on my own terms and in my own way. And they try to climb this hill to the Lord with their good works, with something that they've done. They try to climb their way up. But let me tell you, my friend, you can't climb all the way up to the hill of the Lord. You've got to go through Jesus Christ. And so the question, my friend, this morning is this: who can ascend? Who can reach to this holy hill where the Lord is? The Bible speaks of in verse 7 that this hill, I believe, this heavenly place that he's speaking of is surrounded with gates. It is surrounded with a fenced city. No man can climb there in his own way. No robber can get in there. No thief can get in there. No trespasser can get in there. No, this place where the Lord dwells, he is king of. And he dwells there. It is his kingdom. Psalm 2 tells us this. The Lord says, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Let me tell you about this city where the Lord dwells. It's a heavenly city. It's a place who is not built by man. In fact, the Bible tells us this place is not built by what man can do. This place is inhabited by the Lord, and it's a city that's not made by man, but made by God. In fact, the Bible tells us that Abraham looked for a city, and he looked for a city whose builder and maker was the Lord. You know, it's interesting in the Bible, God has never commanded men to dwell in cities. Did you know that? In fact, when they tried to build a city back in the Tower of Babel, God came down and confused them. Cities are not really what God desires, because there's only one city that we're looking for, isn't there? There's only one place that we're looking to dwell and be a part of, and that's a heavenly Jerusalem, a heavenly place. Now, let me tell you about this city. Oh, there sits the King of Glory on the throne in this city, and all worship him. Let me tell you about this city, that there is no sun in this city because they don't need it. Because the Lord himself is the sun. He's the light. Let me tell you about the music in this city. What do you hear when you enter in through the gates of this city? Oh, you hear a great praise, a great song that no one has ever sung before. A new song. Oh, let me tell you what you hear and you see when you go through this city. You see, as it were, great worship and great praise by many, an innumerable number who worship him day and night, who don't cease but to worship him. Oh, this is the place where our King of Glory is, the King of all the earth, this morning, seated. This is the one we serve. This is the one we worship. And he is there. And so this is the question. Who can enter into this holy place? Who can have removed such a king? Can the nations of the world today? Can the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth, who have set themselves up against the Lord and against his anointed, can they come and can they take him down? No. He is seated forever on the throne, and one day every eye will see him and will look upon him. Even those who pierced him will see him, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. This is the one we serve. This is the King of Glory. This is the one who's our Savior. Who can ascend? Who can get into this place? Well, look what it says in verse 4. He that have clean hands and a pure heart. Let me tell you, no one who is a hypocrite can come into this city with a tongue that says that they know the Lord, but inwardly they do not know. No one can come into this city with unclean hands, with sin on their hands. No one can come into this city with a borrowed garment from their own religion. No, the only way you can enter through this city and into this gate, let me tell you, is if you are perfectly holy in every way. That's what he says. The only one who can enter this city is those who have clean hands and a pure heart. Now, can I tell you, do you have that this morning? Do you really honestly have that before? Is your heart really telling you this morning that you have a clean hand and a pure heart? Is there sin not in us all? Absolutely. And yet there seems to be one, my friend, who is in this city. Because he says, he, verse number 5, who makes it into this hill of the Lord, he receives the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. There seems to be one, my friend, this morning, who has made it through this city, who has come into the holy presence of God, who has, as it were, the gates open for him. Who is this one? Who is this one who has succeeded? Is it some religious figure in history? Is it some great church attender? Can I tell you, it's none of those. There's only one man who has entered through these gates and been successful, and it's Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? If you are really to enter into heaven city, you have got to be like Jesus Christ in every way. Your heart has to be like him. Your heart has, your ways have to be like him. Your mind has, you have to be like him. You have to live like him. If you really are in your own standard to get through this city, you have to be perfect and holy in every way. Not one sin, not one failure, not one little dot. That's the requirement that God lays here to enter into this holy place. And yet, my friend, this morning, there seems to be one who's entered. And he's received blessing from the Lord. He's been declared righteous from God, of his salvation. Who is that one? Who is the one who has managed to come through the gates? It's Jesus. He's entered in. And the only way, my friend, this morning, the only way you can be in this city is if you've put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. The only way you can be sure to know that you are in this city is to be in Christ. Now, I believe verse number 6 down to verse number 10 tell us what happened perhaps when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended from earth back to heaven after he had done the work of salvation. The Bible says, here comes the King of Glory. The Bible tells us there's a voice seems to be in heaven. And the voice is an instruction. The Bible says in verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. It says again in verse 9, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up. They say now in Jerusalem that there are 8 gates at present. They are big gates. And they are open now most of the time. People can go in and come out. But let me tell you, these gates of heaven, they don't open for no one. There's only one they open for. Well, who is it that can enter through these gates? Notice, they are all completely open. They're not open a little crack for someone just to creep through and try and get there themselves. They are lifted up from the head of the gate all the way to the top, to the bottom. They actually say that in the times past when you would entertain people as a guest in an eastern country, in a Middle Eastern country, that they would actually take the doors off the hinges to be sure that the door was open so people could come in. It was important to someone in the Middle East that the door would be wide open to show that you could come in. But this one is not coming in, as it were, without pomp or ceremony. This one is not coming in without there being a loud, triumphant shout and praise. This Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe, who's this King of Glory, who's coming in. He's coming in victorious. He's coming through these gates, having done what God has said for him to do and completed it and finished it and delivered it. And it's now able to be trusted in. He's coming winning. He's coming victorious. This is what this King of Glory is coming in. Notice what it says. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of Glory will come in. And the question is asked then in repeat, well, who is this King? Who is this King of Glory? What's he like? What's he done? What gives him the right to be called the King of Glory? Well, look at what it says in verse 8. The Lord mighty, the Lord strong. That word there, strong, means he's forceful like an army. Can I tell you, the King of Glory that we serve today, this King of Glory is one who has all power and all authority. No man, no person, no country, no one can stop in his way. That's the one we serve. That's the King of Glory. The idea here of this Lord being strong, the idea is he is one who has all power and will always win. They come and they try and stand against the Lord. And what does he do? He laughs at them in heaven with derision. He mocks them because no man can take on this King of Glory and live. No man. But he's not just strong, but he's mighty. And that word there, mighty, means he's a brave man. He's a valiant man. He's a giant. He's a champion. He is a warrior. And Jesus Christ, as it were, came to earth to do a mission, to fight a battle. And let me tell you what that battle was. That battle was the battle of sin. And that battle led to death. And that battle had the powers, as it were, of hell behind it. But let me tell you what the King of Glory did and why he can come through this door and why the doors are so widely open is because, let me tell you, my friend, he has defeated it all. And therefore, he's walking through triumphant. Can I tell you, there's no power of hell this morning that can hinder Jesus Christ. There's no work of hell this morning that can outweigh our champion, our heavenly champion, our warrior. He has defeated it all. And not just hell, but hell's devil as well. He has defeated it all. Let me tell you, he has taken the darkness and he has destroyed it. Let me tell you what he has done. He has taken our sin and they have been conquered. And he has crushed the head of Satan. And we now see through this door open before us this morning, as it were, in heaven. Who is it that is entering in? Oh, it is the mighty, glorious, matchless, no one can compare to him, King of Glory. And let me tell you, there is not one single person who can stand against him. This is the one we serve. Lift them up then. Again, verse number 9. Open them wide. Make them clear. Because the King of Glory will come in. And when he comes in, he'll be seated at the Father's right hand. And that's where he is today. What's he doing? He is praying for us. Ever living for us. To make intercession for us. This is the perfect, matchless King of Glory. And it's the one we follow. And the one we serve. Is your confidence in him? Is your trust in him? Are you truly depending only in him for your salvation? The Bible tells us, he that have clean hands and a pure heart. Let me tell you, there's only one man who has a clean hands and a pure heart. That's Christ. There's no one else. There's not one person in this room who has a clean hand and a pure heart on their own. Only Jesus. Are you saying you like Jesus? No. My friend, you need Christ. You need a Savior. You need someone to cover you. And this King of Glory, let me tell you, he stands at the throne. And what's he offering to his Father? His precious blood as the payment for your sin. And the Father has accepted that as payment. And all those who will believe and trust in him, all their sins can be washed away. They can be transformed because our King of Glory standeth, reigneth, triumphant. And that's who we're looking to. And so I say that to you, my friend, this morning in relation to what has happened yesterday or last night, this morning in Israel, what's happened in Australia, and we could name other events around the world. I say this, my friend, who is really reigning and ruling? Who is really in control? Who is really triumphant? Who is really the victor? Who is really wearing the crown of King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Let me tell you who it is. It's the King of Glory. And that's who we're serving. That's who we're waiting for. And let me tell you, when he comes, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Everyone will say, he is Lord, to to the Father's glory. There's no king like this King of glory. Do you know him? Are you trusting in him? Are you one of his subjects? Are you one of his children? Can I tell you, my friend, this morning, there's nothing that would delight the king than to hear someone say, "Oh Lord, I come. I trust in you. I depend on you." Can I tell you, my friend, this morning, if you are here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you what he would say. Come, trust in me. No righteousness of your own, no goodness of your own, but all of me. Come, come. And I'll clothe you in that righteous robe. I'll take your sins. I'll forgive them. I'll wash you. And I'll stand for you. I'll pray for you at the Father's side. I'll ever live for you and intercede for you. Because I live, you'll live also. Because where I am, you'll be with me also. Do you know the King of glory? Well then, what a hope you have. You can turn on the news today and you can watch it. And yes, it might upset you, it might depress you. But let me tell you what you can say. The King of glory is coming. And he will rule and he will reign and every knee will bow. And let me tell you, all wars will be ended, all troubles will be over. And he will be victor. King of glory. That's who we're worshipping this morning, isn't it? That's who we're praising. That's who we love. That's who we're waiting for. The King of glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee that we are waiting for thee, Lord, for thy coming again. We're waiting to see thee, Lord, thy beauty. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we pray and we ask thee, Lord, to take mercy and have salvation given to someone here today. We pray, Lord, for those who are discouraged in their life, maybe discouraged by the news, maybe discouraged by the world. Oh, may they see this King of glory, this matchless, glorious King. May they look upon him this morning. May they see his glorious, bright face. Oh, Lord, what a lovely face it is. What a lovely Savior you are. And we just ask thee this morning, help us to look constantly, entirely to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.